Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, we are broadcasting live here on the Paula Price Show from the Apostolic Summit in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And we're going to go.
Well, we are here, and Dr. Price is transitioning. Give them your credit card. Give them your daddy's credit card.
Hallelujah. And yes, you tell God, but I love you, Lord. No, you don't. You like the idea of me. And a lot of us are in love with the idea of Jesus Christ. People, you can say, well, you know, he's hard. No, no, no. We got folks who love people who whoop them every day. Get greased up for the beating. Jesus is a good man. He's a good shepherd. He's a good savior. And all of this stuff that they're telling you you don't have to do for him, they're telling you how to show you don't love him. Because when you love somebody, they can't ask too much. They can't demand too much. You can't give enough. And guess what? Going to church, are you kidding me? You can't get enough of them. What do your friends say? Well, since you met that man, we don't even hear from you no more. And that's it. You know, look at you. You don't marry that woman now. You ain't got no time for your old lady. You can say, I'm not different. It's just in the house. I thought I always was. You don't say that when you meet somebody you're in love with. They say, I don't like your hair color. You over there with Miss Harlow. You know that's what you, I don't like that outfit. You over there at the store ain't got a dime to your name. Girl, I need love and money. Honey, my man don't like that. Isn't that the truth? They say, I don't like your way. Man, I got to get you to the gym. I got to fall off. Any comment they say, they don't like something. You are kidding me. God said you don't like something. He's bumping your mouth. He's pushing your mouth. That's nothing your God. He's neglected. You know you say it. God tell you, I don't want your boo-boo hanging out. You don't know, I'm sorry, but that's just religious. These are my lips, and I can show them to who I want. But everybody want to see them things swinging in the wind. God tell you, he doesn't want to see the butt spread all over the altar. I'm sorry, this is how I am. If the Lord takes me, he's going to take me as I am. You put some coochie color pants on because you wanted that man. God cannot tell you how he likes his house. He can't tell you how he likes his church. He can't tell you how he likes his faith. He can't tell you how he likes his woman. He can't tell you how he likes his sweetheart. He can't tell you anything except he can't tell you you're going to hell. We treat him like frogs talking about don't leave me behind. He can't call the shots on anything and you want to live with him forever. What are you going to learn to believe? I'm going to get the help to be a change agent? Let me change heaven like earth works. Did you know that I just plundered some palace? Just in case you never know what that was, palace plundering. I plundered some strong man good. You cannot tell God you love them and he can't call the shots in your life. Jesus said it. He said, why call me Lord, Lord, and you not the thing that I said? He's like, don't even bother calling me Lord. Just leave me alone. Don't live your life. See you on the other side. That's apostle's doctrine. I listen to some of these men, they tell me, and I'm like, did anybody read the Bible? And I know we think the Bible is not God any longer. But for those of us who got the Holy Ghost on the inside, can you imagine us saying, well, I'm sorry, the Constitution is not the Constitution any longer. So now let you say that. Matter of fact, you can't go to your job and tell them it's a handbook going to read. You know, I don't like the handbook y'all got. It's real religious. It's really restrictive. I don't like being that restrictive. You go there and they know, and then they tell you that you have to retrain it, and they're not going to pay you for it. And you know what you do? Show up for class. Because your love for Christ is love for a figment, not a person. It's a figment that you have, because anything that's real that you love, you alter your life for. You buy a new car, you're going to change your life for that car. Hey, babe, I got to polish this every day. No, y'all not going to lean on this. Y'all not going to touch that. Hey, man, you ain't got no food. Get your foot off my floor. Is that what we do? You get a new house. No, I got a new furniture. All the guests come. They can't sit down. Everybody, y'all, we just stand around and eat now. You know, we know that the food digests better when you stand up anyway. Who's going to stand up and eat? You alter your life for what you love.
Amen.
And you destroy what you hate. You first ignore it, and then you despise it, and then you destroy it. And that's what God wants you to get. If you love me, we wouldn't have arguments about any of the stuff that you have. You are trivializing me because you don't want to grow up and realize who I am. That's plundering the strong man's goods. In the spirit world, the currency, the commodity of the spirit world is souls. The currency of the spirit world is blood. And it's not the red platelet stuff I'm talking about. It's the life of all flesh. The life of all flesh is the currency of the kingdom in God's world. When they start having negotiations in God's world, they don't be talking about, okay, I'm going to give you 3 buildings and a house and a company. They're like, I'm going to give you 2 nations of souls. That's why we started this out by saying that apostleship is about God and nations. Because the trading floor of heaven is nations. And the battlefield of the spirit is God-to-God combat. Now, we're the only ones that won't accept that. God has to face off with the God of your father, the God of your mother, your grandmother, generate all of that. He's got to face off with it. Then he's got to face off with culture. Isn't that something? He's got to face off with culture. He's got to face off with your education. He's got to face off with your prestige, your prominence, your achievements, your accomplishments. He's got a lot to wade through before he can lay full claim to your heart and your soul. But I'll be glad he doesn't give up. Can we pray? He loved me so much. He felt I was worth the effort, even worth the pain. We were a pain in his butt, and he still loved us. We were a pain on his back, pain in his head, pain in his neck. But he still loves us. Jesus took over. Jesus came as a stronger man. Jesus took over the power and everything that went along with displacing a regional and eventually global power. Jesus told everybody who would listen, I'm going to take over man. I'm not going to friendly coexist with these other deities. Y'all need to quit trying to put me in a pantheon. I made pantheons. Jesus is like, I made gods. Psalm 82:1, the Lord stands in the congregation of the gods. God is like, are you kidding? I'm not going to hang with them. I made them. They exist because I let them. When I'm done, they're done. Hallelujah. I didn't do anything, did I? I might lose those. How's that? That better? Although he came to become the world's power, Jesus never had an identity crisis. He never had a obscure attitude about his mission. It wasn't vague to him. Jesus never felt like, man, I don't know why I'm here. Why am I in this ministry again? Why am I? He never did. Every day he kept talking. I'm here because of this. I'm come because of that. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the world. He anointed. He sent. He spoke. He did. He empowered. He fed. He fed. There's a reason why God's keeping you on this planet. And the first one is to get you to become a compatible citizen of his world. We will not make good citizens in heaven because we don't like what they believe. We don't like how they think. We don't even like their government. You realize we don't like God's government. How you know? Because you don't like it here. Your body don't have a problem with the government. It's your heart that's got a problem. forever in a kingdom you don't like, under a king that you don't trust and you disrespect, under a government that you don't believe in, serving a God that you don't think is right. But you want to, Lord, take me away. You will. You realize that in God's world, there's no question about who Jesus is.
Amen.
Nobody wonders who Jesus is. Nobody wonders if he has a right to say anything. Nobody challenges Jesus in God's world. And you know why? Because the bodies that would challenge him are in the dust of the earth. The hearts that would challenge him was destroyed at the cross. In God's world, Jesus is the man. Everybody knows it. Satan knows it. Devils know it. But I mean, he came to the planet. We know you have something about my heart. Did you come here to destroy the black man? They didn't say, did Jesus show us your credentials? In Jesus' world, there's one way, God's way. The only way we got an alternative was because we had one creature that had another idea. He is now your problem. I so wish you would get this. You cannot want to spend forever with a guy you don't like. You cannot want to spend forever in a world that you say is boring. So a lot of people don't want to go to heaven. They just don't want to go to hell. Can we just stay on earth forever? Just loosey-loosey. Nope, that's out too, because Jesus is changing that. So you got to choose. Choose ye this day. You've got to make a choice. And then you have to live up, not just live with. See, we live with our Christianity, but we don't live up to it. That is the problem. We'll live with it all day.
I'm a Christian. He's a Christian. Oh, baby, happy Christian.
But you got to live up to it. The most excellent thing. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Live up to that divine nature. You've been bought with a price. We are a royal priesthood. Okay? Holiness. You have to live up to the definition of a Christian unless, of course, you are born of the other Christ. You realize when Jesus was on the planet, he was the only one named Jesus. But it's something about the power of that name in your heart. See, you don't have to worry about whether or not you get the right Jesus because your heart is not going to recognize the wrong one. See, if you can't tell what Jesus is Jesus, which one is the true Jesus, it's because the real one is not in your heart. Because when that real one is in your heart, I want you to know. You may say, encounter, faith, counterfeit. Hey, Jesus! Hey, I knew you were going to do. You realize that nobody can confuse you about your love. Even if you never met your parents, when you meet your late mother, you say, something about this person. Then he has to be nice. Because the Spirit knows all things. The Spirit searches all things. The Spirit knows the things of the man. Your Spirit knows Jesus because he is you and you are him. And he is, listen, if you are finding it difficult to know what truth is truth, what gospel is gospel, it's because you don't have that real God moving on you. Or he's still just a seed. You realize a baby knows their parent. But they don't know why they can't treat everybody else like a parent too. And so we want to treat everything named Jesus like a Messiah. We want to treat everything named Christ as the Savior. Well, I mean, you can get saved through so-and-so. Yeah, but you know, saved and redeemed, two different things. A lot of people can save you, but only one man can redeem you from this world. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Y'all flowing with me? Still rolling it up? You know, I want to go against this because, see, we can talk apostleship all day long, but what did the apostles do? Taught you Jesus. No, they didn't just teach a doctrine. They didn't teach the happy time gospel. They taught you Jesus. And, you know, we teach you the gospel like all the gospel can do is say. Do you realize that there's something like, I want to say, 15 to 17 branches of the gospel? You've heard one. The Lord died for your sins. I say all of the branches of the gospel because if I'm supposed to preach the gospel of this kingdom, then I need to know the gospel of the kingdom, not the preamble. The gospel of salvation is the preamble to the kingdom's constitution. And we've been running y'all on the preamble. But I studied them. You know, that's part of my faith. Want to take this home? Because all of this good stuff is in this car. So if you want to take it. Now, this is only book one. I told you about 60 books in the series. We could take you all the way up to the master's master. But this one here, this one is available to you. And I'll tell you how later on. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Good, too. Oh. Good stuff. You know? The rationale of arch training stems from the often overlooked fact that God is a thinker. That means his servants and agents must be thinkers, too.
Right.
Hallelujah. Thoughtfulness and thinking, though closely related and interdependent upon each other, are in effect two different things. You want to hear the rest of that, don't you? Don't y'all just want to hear the rest of that? That's not coming. That's not happening. Okay. Our scripture principle. I mean, remember, the major obstacle of God's kingdom apostleship is the absence of God's mind. What that does, the Christ mentality the first apostles sees and find and their successors after them is conspicuously lacking in much of modern apostles' communications. Are we done? All right. Because I'm still going on. Did you understand? Did you hear how he said, what is lacking? The obstacle today is the obstacle of God's mind. And yet God said, let his mind be in you, which was brought where? Also in Christ. So we have the mind now. What? Christ. See, we allow people to say that something is God, and since we don't know any better, we don't refute them. The job of an apostle is to guard the king and the kingdom. And that's all for guarding his character, guarding his communication. You know, in the time when this was written, are you kidding? Nobody would think to alter the king's communications unless you were going to overthrow him. Unless you were going to overthrow him. Kings were often at risk because they could be killed in their sleep, et cetera, et cetera. But the only way that can happen is if the guard let their enemy in the palace. Today, our guards have let Christ's enemy in his palace. So he can go through, kill all the kings, steal all the stuff, rob whom they will, convert the dissatisfied. Because I'm going to tell you something. You want to take over a kingdom, you just tap into the dissatisfied evidence. Dissatisfied folk are looking for a reason to jump ship. That's why God speaks to us about being content all the time. Be content with such things as you have. Be satisfied with what you have. Be thankful. Be grateful. Why? Because your dissatisfaction will send out a magnet that attracts his enemies to convert you to their cause. Listen, we started losing the church before we did. Everybody was unhappy with the church. Satan has got everybody unhappy with the church. He keeps telling you, isn't the church of Jesus Christ a pain? Aren't they hypocrites? Aren't they this? Aren't you sick of that? Isn't it religious? Isn't it hard? They're always asking, always saying, always the church, always got to sing, always got to give, always got to stand, can't say this, can't say that. He has worked that thing up so people buy that lie. Now, my thought is, anybody thought about his world is rather ugly. When you look at the world that he's offering, it's ugly. You can't stay married. You got to sleep with 55 people in a month. You got to risk all kinds of diseases. You got to be scared for your life. Folks breaking in. Jesus talking about break things. You can't break in still. Crime is riddled. This is his world. And we're telling everybody the church is in trouble. Are you kidding me? That the best we have is that we ran as holy as you who are unholy think. We should be. We still beating y'all. Yeah. But you have to know that your feelings are the magnet of unbelief and eventually defection. Satan is good for getting you out there and then leaving you out there by yourself. All these people, yeah, that's right, honey, because I'm telling you, I'm voting now. He ain't got to be accepted now. I'm voting him out. Now, everybody voting now. You are the one who's going to vote to be most up your mouth, say it, put your mouth out there, and whatever, and make sure you know nobody takes your calls after it's over. But I thought we were working on this thing. No, you were a pawn. You have to recognize that. We have a class talking about how to recognize this Luke 11:21. Parable in action and in effect. He started to say, told you wrong. Bible's not man. So was your paycheck. You ain't trying to not cash it. Baby, your IRS forms are designed by men. You still fill them. And try to get it right because you don't want them to come after you. And when they come after you, they don't come after you about something there. They come after you about what's on paper. Think about you, a person. Well, you know, the people who wrote the Bible, they weren't like us. You chase CNN down every day. Fox News, you know they lie. Half of them newscasts are not letting me know. Some of those news bureaus are kind of like, but that's not personal. But, you know. But a lot of them, you know they're lying, telling you half the story, and you know what? You're reiterating that little string of tales like it's a God. And you know what they say, I ain't watching no news no more, but those people lie. You have never said that about the news. Do you realize how many things are done by humans that we are actually lay our lives on the line for? You got a degree that was written by a man. You got a degree from a textbook written by a man. Hallelujah. Oh, didn't you? And you did not say, my degree means nothing because it was not written by any human hands. See how much? But because he works on our insecurity and our sense of inferiority, he can sell us on any seduction and make us out of our own mouth curse the church because there's no sorcery against Jacob, the only person who can take down the church to the church. He's been trying for 2,000 years. He couldn't do it. He's already out of the secret. Let's make the Christians unhappy with Christianity, and we can convert them and lead them into a more destructive campaign. I don't talk about the church at all. Half of y'all got family y'all don't like. Go home every year to Christmas. Every year, right in your house. Oh man, I'm on the bus, I'll come with them singing feet again. And you bring him in, put some spray, he's going to spray his feet. He got to come, but he's bad. Okay? Man, cousin so-and-so going to come with those crazy stories, and I hate that silly bastard. Every year. Because she's family. Isn't it the truth? do one thing you don't like, not only are you mad at the saints, you're going to blame it on Jesus Christ. Now, how hard is that? Jesus is like, I didn't come to your house and take your stuff. Why should you let me? You realize he programmed you to turn anything unpleasant, anything negative, anything painful, hurtful, back on Jesus. He programmed you. After years of whining saints, crying people, believing one side of the story, having them tell children one side, you don't even know if it's the truth. But it didn't have to be true. It was about Jesus, and that's all you needed. Gave you another reason to be mad at Christians. Gave you another reason not to trust Christians. Now you got the Muslims doing what they want to do. They done took down two buildings. We still try to be friends. Nothing wrong with that. I don't blame everybody for it, but the point is made. You got Buddhist folk doing what they want to do, Hindus doing what they want to do, Taoists doing what they want to do, Mormons want to, you know, all these people. But you know what? It's that spiritual Christian that they keep attesting to is true. They're not attacking everything else. They're only attacking the truth. They're living with the lie. They love on the lie. They're attacking the truth. So you need to know that this same game that you're playing is because you're the right one. All of the Jesus on the planet, only one Jesus got on the cross. And a whole lot of people were faking Messiah. That was a popular thing back then.
He must be the Messiah. A lot of people found him.
He must be the Messiah. Somebody got healed. He must be the Everybody said to the real one came. And when the real one came, he struck fear and terror in everybody's heart. Why? Because he wasn't swapping demons like exorcists. He was sending them to hell. And they didn't want to go. I hope you can see this because it is a little small, but I will read it. Natural application of Luke 11:24. Satan was a strong man. Spiritual power enabled earthly dominance. I did it again, didn't I? Well, y'all need to tie it up or something. You keep throwing it in there. All right, the palace is the world's seat of government. The goods are the treasures and resources of this world. The armor is the weapons of war, soldiers, alarm alerts, the entire defense system. Overcome is the word Nikeo for victory. Triumphantly defeated his army and expelled him from his own palace. Now, remember we said, now the prince was well cast out? Seized his military, divided the spoils, the weapons and valuable strips from a defeated enemy.
All right.
Did y'all like that? Did that help you? My point is that when God said be strong, be very brave, be not dismayed, be courageous, he was talking about the attitude of knowing who is the it in the equation. God is it because God has always been it. God has no natural predators. He has no supernatural predators. He has no celestial predators. He has no enemies that can take him out. God created his own opposition so he wouldn't be bored. You like this, don't you? Can you imagine? What else am I going to say? Man, I'm so good at this. That's why Satan has to be strong. God made him strong enough to test him, but never beat him.
Isn't that good?
Y'all got to admit it's good. Because how do you all see God in a different light like that? Honestly? Because you have to recognize that God that you were talking about, he wasn't impressive anyhow. You didn't want to go to heaven with that God, but that wasn't the right one. You'd have been in the wrong place anyway. You'd have been some milk-toast, sugar-coated devil. Down in hell, wondering why your chocolate milk. But God is amazing. God's world is exciting. They love it. Can you imagine God makes whales? Now, whales, it takes us like four cranes and stuff to move a whale. A beach whale is a problem. God makes all of these creatures just to prove I can. make the planet? I can. I made all the planets. I'm having fun. I'm looking for myself in this nigga, and I thought, God, I really need to know what were you thinking. I want to know what was going on. I want to get in the laboratory. Don't you want to get in there? I want to get in the laboratory. Can I play? I'm going to play. I'm going to learn how to do this. I don't need it all. I'll be in there all the time. He's like, where are you in the laboratory? It's exciting in his world. When you take the veil of Satan's fear and rejection and disappointment off, what you hear from him is his disappointment. I tried my best. I lost. It cost me everything. He took his best shot and just wasn't there. When you read Revelation, that Jesus put out. He took his best shot. And God let him. Because remember, God said, I'm fine. I can fix this. I mean, it was sad. I'm not even saying it's not sad, because it was sad, but not having it. So don't even hear that. But he created that problem to always see to it that he is better than his last best. Yeah. Now, this says something to me in Revelation. God created those things to make sure he's always better than his last best. That means nothing he made will ever increase to be stronger than he is. Yeah. How are you going to keep a planet and you don't know who's going to grow up and be stronger than you? We can't say that about our kids. We get birth to kids and we can whoop their butt at 5 and then they can kill us at 16. Not so with the Almighty. I'm always going to be God. So he'll keep making things stronger and harder for himself because he knows the secret to strength is always going after something too big, too strong, and too hard and bringing it under. That's why subdue is in the creation constitution. He always tells you, bring it into existence, do it. Bring it into, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, do it. Did anybody get that? Be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, subdue. Now, why is subdue last? Don't you think it should be subdue and then have dominion? No, conquer it and then make sure it can't ever conquer you back. About an attitude, people. Am I changing some attitude? Yeah. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. You wrap your head around those two things, and I'm telling you, those two passages alone will change your life. Is that okay with you guys? Amen. Jesus came as, look at this, as an apostle prophet. He came as the promised Messiah, Moses' great prophet, God's incarnate son, Adam, son of man, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, the second person of the Godhead, head of earthly ecclesia, the Word of God, the new Prince of the world, King of kings, Lord of lords, Yahweh incarnate, and God of God. Do you know your Savior in the fullness? In the fullness. See, you have to know his fullness. We're trying to defeat and defend. We're trying to defeat the enemy and defend the world on scraps of Jesus and slivers of scripture. That can't ever happen. You realize that, right? That can't ever happen. I wanted you to hear that because we miss it. We miss it. From this discussion, you can see God's obstacles and why he needs faithful apostles to return his people to him. As a matter of fact, one of the primary things apostles do that you will become well familiar with later in the training serves these very purposes. They return what is God's back to God, meaning back to his dominion, purposes, and good pleasure. This is a very succinct explanation of apostleship in action. To do so, apostles reintroduce the Lord's people and through them the world to the living word of God. That is the person of Jesus Christ, his passion, and his redemption. Apostles, unlike the Old Testament prophets, preach and teach a being and not just a sacred text to their generation. They bring people into the man Christ Jesus and not just Moses' law that paved the way for him. Thus, for this new era apostleship restitution to advance and grip this generation, the Lord's age-old pattern must be resumed. There must be a return to the scriptures, now actuated by the Holy Spirit, to save rather than just console people. Converts must come to the cross according to Christ's word and not people's testimony. Jesus the Messiah must be able to enter their souls and not stop at superficially soothing their emotions. For all of these effects, the word of God is still the only means, because the Lord does everything by his word, and without it, he does nothing. Isn't that something? You have to know what it is to be an apostle, even if you're an apostolic prophet, even if you're part of the Apostles' Commission team. This education, at least the first 10 books, needs to go to everybody affected by the apostle before we start separating it to the intermediate, advanced, and specialized subjects. Hallelujah. Y'all, are you all enjoying? Is it working? I just wanted you there. If it's working, then I'm there. I wanted to give you a little bit on the strength of God's word, because here's where I wanted to go. What it means to seek a sender's glory. Wouldn't you like to know? What does that mean? Because we certainly are seeking God's glory today. We're seeking something. I don't know what it is. God's glory is the heart and soul of apostleship training and thereafter apostles' ministry. What has been said so far is to accustom you to the central basis of the training. As you progress through its successive semesters of training, you learn to analyze the popular, though narrow, simple apostleship doctrine of today. From there, you will unfold how to unseal its true meaning to disclose what the Lord really has in mind for the office. Of all the motivations for Ark's training perspective, the glory of the apostles' sender tops the list. That aim is what makes this council invaluable to those determined to be true apostles in spite of the copious models of poor apostleship displaying the office today. What does that mean? In this case, the sent one's communications, hearers of a sent one's message can only authenticate the sent one by the words he or she speaks in the sender's name. And that has to be traceable. It has to be researchable. You've got to find it somewhere. Jesus, as God sent one, and the prophet that God sent, preached what? He preached the law of Moses, the psalm, and the prophet. Paul validated his revelations with the law of Moses, the psalm, and the prophet. When you get an opportunity, read Luke 24:44-49. And Acts 24:14, and I think it's 14-17. Read those in your own time, because here's what I want you to get. It is not what they think. You're distilling some obscure, archaic doctrine that the church used to say doesn't say any longer. That is not how you represent Christ as a sent one. Y'all following with me still? Okay. Although if the sender is of lowly stature or of insignificant influence, then there is no way of telling if what is said in its name is true or not. More than that, there is really no reason to care about the message. In this case, the Senate wants communication and Minister are dismissed, not as false per se, but as inconsequential. If the sender is not big enough, bad enough to back the word, nobody's going to listen. That is not so with the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to a people that had been listening to he and his father for centuries. They were well groomed by his forerunners to verify him and to recognize him as their Messiah. Their history together is how he could give them such succinct benchmarks to prove him. Nonetheless, his measurements still hold true today in and outside of the church for his messengers and those of the world. Conformance and loyalty are the two main gears of responsible apostleship service. The messenger must be conformed to the Lord's will, his words, and way. That is the duty of discipleship, which lends itself to fidelity, because transformed members cease to be individuals and no longer are they separate from their sinners. If you see you and Jesus as separate, you're stuck. Is that okay? Is that okay? You and Jesus ought to be separate. You ought to see yourself as an extension of him. Earlier, I used the word appendage. I wasn't being facetious. I meant you have to see yourself as literally an extension, an arm, a hand of Jesus Christ. And you won't know if you have a prosthesis or not until you learn the scriptures. Because a lot of us are operating as prosthesis. Somebody sewed it on. Is this okay, guys? I know you're getting tired. We give how much time I have? Because I should be almost done. Oh, good. I can introduce this part. Because I want to, when we come back, we're going to look at who the princes are. Would you like to know them? Y'all don't want to know them. Oh, you do want to know. Oh, but listen, I need encouragement. I don't need to tell you. I have to be revved up. Y'all rev up some other freaks. Y'all need to turn me up. Do you think Jesus knew his commission? He certainly did from what we just read. He came as a displacement. Jesus knew why he came. He knew why he was sent. And he never allowed that to slip from his mind. How often do you let it slip? Well, my apostleship is for my friends. Well, it's for my church. Well, it's for my ministry. Well, it's for my... No. Your apostleship is for Jesus Christ. Because without a sender, there can be no apostle. Even Satan's apostles are sent by him. The law of apostleship is there must be a sovereign sender. A sender high enough to have authority over the world that they're sending you to. That was interesting, wasn't it? There must be a sovereign sender. In other words, you just can't be yourself. I can't just send you to the store. If I'm going to take nations, I've got to have already done it. So when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he opened it with what? All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Anybody get that? Before he said go, he had to say why I continue. He just said, hey, guys, but since I'm back, he said, because of what I just did and my father's good pleasure with it, I've been rewarded with creation-wide dominion. I am over all of it. Everything answers me. The occult answers Jesus the way it answered Daniel under Babylon. That's why they always try to use Jesus to be able to learn the name. You go to them, they talk this when they try to take my Jesus. Why? There is no other name. His is the only name that God put all power in. All power is in the name of Jesus. And I don't care how many false Jesus you name, that root, when that new real name comes,
But he said, my name is so powerful, it's going to work even with the people who don't like me. What if the apostle had a problem with it? Lord, we found somebody casting out devils in your name. Jesus said, hey, when we go back, Jesus, leave it alone. If no one uses a miracle in my name can quite quickly, you know, talk about me, talk evil of me. Now think about it. It wasn't just a miracle in his name. This is like, my name is like air. It's like fire. It's like rain. It's like a blue sky. It's like a cloud of air. You can't go on like that. Sugar pie, Jesus. Quick definition of the apostle. I pretty much have laid the foundation for this, so I'm sure you're ready for this. Right?
Yeah?
Yes. Y'all can't answer me because y'all trying to write the screen up. I promise you I understand. This definition I'm going to build on it for the next couple of slides. But the first one is what? A sovereign authority's deputized sent one. If I send you to the store, to the bank, to make a deposit, I have to give you authority. But if I send you to the bank, I have to give you authority. If I send you to the store, I just need to give you a list and some money. But now, if I send you to my house to take care of my kids, I've got to deputize you. I've got to make you like me. And I've got to tell the kids, you are like me, and they need to obey you as they obey me. Are you getting the picture?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, many people, when they teach apostleship today, because A, maybe they don't know, and B, maybe they don't care, they just say, oh, apostle is none but a sent one. I was just with somebody recently, and every time I said apostle, they said sent one. I thought, oh, you just had that class, huh? Because you can't, and they only gave you those two words, too, huh? That's all they gave you. But I realize that sent one is easy. But sent one is also very vague. It's nondescript. That's like saying, you know, that females are women. Okay, what kind of woman? Tall woman, what nationality? Where she lives? None of those specifics matter. Because every time you add a specific, something happens. Does anybody know? Huh? It changes, but something else happens. Huh? Excludes. Who said that? Yes. Every time you add a specific, it makes what you're adding it to more exclusive. So if we never get the specifics of a sent one, the exclusivity of an apostle never comes forth. So here's an exclusivity. Sovereign. Authority, deputized. So now we're adding to the common understanding of an apostle as a sent one, we're adding that sovereign means state, nation, or whatever. Okay? Authority, they got the right to send you in and expect where they sent you to take care of you. The issue with being godly was that it shouldn't have ever happened. And if it happened, we should have gone and done something about it. Because to attack an ambassador is to attack the state. That was the whole issue that people had to be like, why would they do that to God? Because we clearly have communicated to the other nations, do what you will. We're going to save you. In the Bible, David sent ambassadors, and they treated his ambassadors. And humiliated. And as far as David was concerned, you mistreated me. You mistreated my state and went to war. If you take out an embassy, you have declared war. That's how God feels about apostles. That's how he feels about us as ambassadors. So heaven is the senior state. It's the sovereign state. And it sends its ambassador to subordinate states, subordinate nations. And so when they started killing the, what happened in Jerusalem? The fact, AD 77, churches. He looked at us. He looked at apostles and fine ministers of the state. Not every minister of the state gets to see the head of state.
All right.
But the prime ministers are distinguished because they work from the face of the sovereign. That's a distinctive. Again, we're now on the shelf. Are you all okay?
Yes.
Is this boring?
No.
Okay. You know, I love teaching this. All right, who is the sovereign? A monarch, a nation, a city? A monarch, a nation, a deity. Queen Elizabeth, one of the most well-known singers. That's how we got America. She sent fleets to explore territory and take land. Many of them did. But I'm just fine with her because she ended up being the underdog and became the standard for Golden Age leadership. God is so cool. Her father started the whole Protestant thing because, you know, he wanted to marry Anne Boleyn, you know, whatever. His motives were terrible. But she picked up that cause, and she was the one that established Protestantism in the New World. And even in the world. We don't realize that. Now, why is that important? Because as much as Luther and all of them were doing what they did, they had no power to make it law. As a matter of fact, up until Queen Elizabeth, the kings or the monarchs were called apostles, chief apostles. But they wouldn't let a woman bear that title. She called herself governor of the state or something like that. Because it was a foregone conclusion that you were sent by the deity of the land to establish its territories. Hefty, huh? Does anybody, let's just do this before I go to my next talk. Can anybody give me in two words or less Apostle Raphael, what was the problem? What is our problem with apostleship and why are we where we are? In 2 sentences or less. Lack of what? That is lack of standardization, lack of vetting. How about you, Apostle Sterling?
Lack of understanding. Lack of true character.
You have your hand up there? We changed the message. Very good. How about you back there, sir? Either one of you, I mean, just from what you heard. Lack of wisdom. Anybody over here?
Unity.
Unity? In what way?
With the apostles, because everybody is preaching something.
Because everybody, you're right, everybody is preaching something different. And what were you saying? You. Her. Yes. The message is not the same. And you, Tammy? Standardization. Does anybody think there's anything else? Anyone is on the phone here?
No training.
Cross-training. Huh? Communication.
Well, everyone, this is Prophet Ashley. And I just want to let you know that concludes today's episode of the Paula Price Show, broadcasting live to you from Tulsa, Oklahoma at our annual Apostolic Summit. As you can hear, Dr. Price is having a blast. And so I say to you all, God bless. Thank you for tuning in today and have a prosperous weekend.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.